Hi, welcome to SEL, the Subject, Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com, and you've caught me just as I'm making a cup of coffee that I'll have as I'm going through the podcast. Well, hi everybody, hope everybody's had a great week. It's Sunday night, we're almost into October, so it's pretty dark outside, but it's actually really quite mild here in the UK. Down in Gosport on the south coast, and I had a great day at the car boot this morning. Got some right bargains, so I thought, hello, bells again. So I thought what I'd do is talk you through some of the things I bought and what it means, and generally, you know, the sort of thing I normally do. But before we go into that, quick word from our sponsor, GoToMeeting. If you or your company gets involved in conference calls, you'll know that ones using the telephone are pretty boring and ineffective, and normally means that people just don't really take notice. Instead of listening in on the conversation, they tend to be playing around with their iPhones or their Android phones or their Blackberries, or maybe they're reading the newspaper. Alternatively, you could actually get everybody together to have a meeting, but that involves tremendous costs in terms of time, petrol, and expenses like that. But what GoToMeeting allows you to do is have video conference calls on your PC, and with the new HD Faces feature, you can actually have video conferencing as well. So instead of the normal, usual, boring conference calls, everybody can be talking via their computers, looking at everybody else's desktops, looking at those sales figures, looking at those minutes for the meeting, sharing those designs, and seeing everybody talking as well. So your meetings become a lot more productive, they finish a lot quicker, and they're just a lot more enjoyable too. But don't take my word for it, go and check it out for free. Visit the URL, gotomeeting.com, click on the try it for free button, and enter the promo code podcast. That's gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and enter the promo code. I can't talk, can I? It's 20 past 9, I'm feeling a little bit tired. Enter the promo code podcast. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SEL Subject, Composition and Light Photography podcast. So, went to Bridgemarie this morning for car boot before work, and the one up at Titchfield. And it was huge because we've had a really nice weekend, and there's been, well, it's been really mild. It's been up in the sort of almost 20 degrees. And nice and sunny. There was loads of people there. It was probably one of the biggest car boot sales at Bridgemarie for several months. And when there's lots of people there, there's lots of bargains to be had. So the first thing I picked up from a stall was a Franca NX40 35mm film camera. Now what I'll do is I'll take a picture of all these and put them in the show notes over on SEL. And the Franca NX40 is one of those plastic, fantastic, Lomo type cameras. It's a bit like a 35mm Diana, really. It's all plastic lens. This one's got a strap and a lens cap, so it's quite posh. They're also fixed focus. It says it's got an auto fixed focus 50mm lens, f1.6. And by the look of it, very similar to the Rand camera, you might remember from several months ago. Focus is fixed, so it'll be something, I don't know, probably 3 feet to infinity, that sort of stuff. And then you set the exposure by turning the lens, which kind of has a very crude aperture, which is just a couple of pieces of metal that kind of get closer together, and you can choose either cloudy, overcast, sort of semi-sunny or bright sunshine, and that kind of equates to f6, f8, f11 or f16. I'm looking forward to putting some colour film in the Franca NX40 because I put black and white in the Rand, and I think with some of these Lomo toy plastic cameras they tend to respond best to colour film, so that should be good. Now that one cost me £3, so it's quite expensive really, but after getting rid of the... Well, I never regret selling cameras because, you know, like everybody in the financial situations we have these days, every now and then money gets a bit tight and I've got to sell some of my gear to pay for the essentials in life. And sometimes I think that's good to have this turnover of camera gear because it makes me buy new stuff to try out and share with you guys and make videos for the YouTube channel and the blog. So the Fanker LX40 looks very interesting indeed. Next up, as I was wandering around, I got a really unusually shaped camera. It's difficult to describe. If you've ever seen the Canon Epoca cameras, you'll know what I mean. They're a variation on the 35mm film camera, and they look more like video cameras. I mean, I would say go to rublandfoto.com in a couple of days' time and look for the show notes for this episode, and you'll see they're like flat with a round, with a big lens on them, and it's a bit like, imagine an SLR with a fixed lens, but where the body of the camera kind of extends up to where the lens would be as well. But it's not an SLR. You actually look for a viewfinder which is to the side of the SLR, and it has a powered zoom, and it can go from 38 to 115mm, so it's quite a nice big zoom, and it has a flash on. And this particular model has got the external accessory flash on as well. Came out in about 1992 from my quick search of the Google, and this is the FZ3000 zoom date, so it can stamp the date. Well, you know, some film cameras can put the date in the bottom right hand corner of the negative so it shows up, so that looks quite good. Unfortunately, it needs a new battery, and it looks like one of the more expensive film type batteries, and the hand strap that you hold on, the little bracket snapped off. But I'm looking forward to having a play with it and doing some videos. Sometimes I think some of these unusually shaped film cameras, like this FZ3000 or the Canon Epocas or the lots of the APS cameras, they're really unusual designs that you don't see anymore. Cameras tend to be all very, very similar now, don't they? SLRs are basically all the same. Compacts are all very, very similar. You know, the format is the same, but I really like these designs where they were playing around with the idea of what a camera should look like and what it could be like. But yeah, looking forward to playing with that. Now, then I came across a stall which was selling some books. I mean, you've got to remember, at these car boot sales, there are hundreds and hundreds of stalls. And so for every thing I buy, there's probably 50 stalls I've looked at that I haven't got. I got this book called Fashion Now, and it's a Taschen book. And if you're ever at a charity shop or a thrift store or a garage sale, and you see a book by Taschen, the publishers, generally they have excellent photography in them, and they do produce lots of photo books, and they're quite small. And this one's called Fashion Now, and it's a collection of the world's 150 most important fashion designers. But what that means is there's also hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of great fashion photographs in it too. So I'm not really interested in the fashion designers, but the photographs are good. And what the great thing about the Taschen books is the photographs are reproduced absolutely beautifully. Really, really nice. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a runny nose. And all the photos have the credits in them as well. So if you come across let's have a look, see what we've got here. Here we go, David LaChapelle, we've all heard about him. So it's all about Jean-Paul Gaultier. And so you say, oh, I quite like that picture. And so then you can look up David LaChapelle on the internet and look at more of his work that way. And, you know, I mean, I've said it once and I'll say it, you know, 1,000 times. One of the ways that you can become a better photographer is by looking at lots and lots of photographs and enjoying really good photography. And one of the things you sometimes might think, well, how do I know what's good photography? Generally, if it's been published in a book or in a magazine, it tends to be pretty good. And that brings me on as well. Sorry to go off on a bit of a tangent, but if you want to check out a website with lots of great photography that's free, 500px.com is really good. I've joined it and uploaded a few photos, nothing special. But if you go to 500px.com and look at the editor's choice, or even the most popular, and there's loads of different categories from architecture to landscapes, the quality of photographs you'll find are very, very good. It's a bit like if you go to Flickr and go to the Explore and look at the most interesting photos on Flickr. They're that sort of quality, really, really good stuff, really inspirational, gives you great ideas for everything from portraits to taking photographs of buildings, abstract animals, all that sort of thing. So check out 500px.com. I don't really have the time to upload the photos to Flickr and 500px and all that sort of stuff, so I'm probably going to stick with Flickr and uploading all my stuff to there, because that's what I do. But check it out.
And then the next stall I came to was the Mother Lode. And nice little stall. More books. And I picked up a painting book, actually. You might have heard of a guy called Jack Vecchione. He's a famous artist, famous Scottish artist, famous in the UK. Very, very popular for his sort of paintings of... They look a bit like scenes from 1950s noir movies. You know, there's lots of like femme fatales and men in trilbies and double-breasted suits. But he's really interesting photos to look at. They're, and I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but they're almost, not cartoon-like, but you know, like if you've ever read 2000 AD or, you know, the better Marvel and DC comics, you know, that have got really high-quality artists drawing the stuff. It's very much like that. But in this particular book, which is called Lovers and Other Strangers, paintings by Jack Vetriano, they're all a bit risque, and they've definitely got an edge. And it's great to look at these images for ideas, because, you know, with a painter who's doing these sort of images, which are pictures of people and situations, it's all about the pre-visualization, isn't it? It's all about having an idea and then following it through. And I know, particularly in my case, that's probably the weakest part of my photography. I'm very much a case of wander around and take pictures of things that catch my eye, rather than thinking about something in advance and thinking, right, I'm going to create an image. And by looking at these images and paintings, you can kind of think about, you know, what was he thinking? Well, what must he have thought before he started painting this picture? So obviously, a painter starts with a blank canvas and builds it up from there. And they're great photographs. Sorry, they're great paintings to look at anyway, the way that he uses light and things like that. So looking forward to looking through that and reading the foreword. But what I got, which I've been looking for ages, is another Olympus Trip 35. As I mentioned earlier, one of the things that happens every now and again is I'll sell some of my camera gear to raise some cash. And I'd sold all my working Olympus Trip 35. I've got a couple of ones that don't work, but I haven't ever got round to taking them apart and re-lubricating the shutters. Because one of the things that goes wrong with Trip 30, well, the thing that goes wrong with Trip 35s, is that the aperture blades get sticky, which means that the auto exposure system can't work properly. And I've mentioned it before, but if you ever want to test the Olympus Trip 35, which is, again, there'll be a photo on the show notes, but it's a little metal-bodied camera that Olympus made from, I think, about 1968 to 1982. Very incredibly popular, and arguably one of the best cameras in the world, because of its build quality and the fact that it's fully automatic exposure but requires no batteries, which I think is fantastic. This is a camera that is always ready to go. But the problem is, you know, after 20 years, the lubricants have started to break down and the apertures get sticky. But if you ever want to test one, just look at the aperture ring on the front, and one of the settings will be A. So turn it to A, there's a little red line. Put your hand over the front of the lens, wind the shutter on, and then press the shutter release, and a little red tongue should pop up inside the viewfinder, and the camera should not take a photograph. When you take your finger off and point the camera at something bright, the camera, it should fire. There should be enough light. There we go. And then the other test to do is then come off auto and then cycle through the apertures, pressing the button, to see whether the aperture blade will tighten all the way up and then open nice and freely. And this one they do. So I was really chuffed about that. So I finally got an Olympus Trip 35, and I'll be hanging on to this one. It's a very, very clean example. No lens cap, but that's to be expected. You know, the lens cap that Olympus gave would just fall off in the wind, so that very few of them still have the lens caps. Very nice little cameras. If you get one that works, this will be... I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably the perfect street camera as well, because it's really, really quiet. Just listen. You know, that's it. You can't hear it from sort of more than 5 feet away. It doesn't need any batteries. Just, you can do exposure compensation really easily by just changing the ASA or the ISO on the dial on the front of the camera, which also means it's a joy and very, very simple to push and pull film. Because unlike later automatic cameras, which read the film speed off the cartridge, with this one you have to manually enter it. So, you know, if you've got some ISO 100 film. You can shoot at ISO 200 or up to ISO 400 if you wanted, or shoot ISO 400 and then pull it down to ISO 125, or I think it goes down to ISO 25. So really fantastic little cameras, but very, very good. I'm always reticent about buying them off eBay because they go for quite a lot of money, but I guess it's worth getting one of the reconditioned ones. But I'm really glad I've got an Olympus Strip 35, and I'll be loading up some of my crappy old Jessup's expired black and white film, putting some through, shooting that, developing it, and then scanning it on the Epson 1660 photo scanner that I was talking about last week. What else did I want to talk about this week as well? And let me just have a quick sip of my coffee. Depending on when you download and listen to the podcast, it's the last few days of our photo assignment over on Flickr. So if you've got some photos that you've taken this month that relate to your hometown, please put them up. And also, I'm going to start a new thread over the next couple of days asking for ideas for our next photo assignment. So if you've got an idea for a photo assignment, stick it up on the thread. You know, it doesn't matter, it can be as vague as you like or as specific as you like. But just bear in mind that the problem with really, really specific things is because our listeners come from all over the world, there may well be a situation where they can't take a particular style of photograph, but it's all about using our imagination anyway. So put them on, and then I'll put the ideas in a hat and I'll pull one, and we'll do that for our October photo assignments. If you're a Squarespace user for blogging like I am with robnofoto.com, really good news. If you've got an Android phone, finally, at last, there is a Android app. What I'm looking forward to with that is I can write blog posts really easily on my phone now, hopefully, and take photographs, do all that sort of thing, and upload them to my Squarespace blog, robnofoto.com, with ease, rather than before where I really had to do it on my desktop or laptop. Well, I haven't got a laptop, but on my desktop computer. So that's really good. So if you've got a Squarespace account and you've got an Android, I guess, tablet as well, or a phone, go over to the marketplace, just search for Squarespace, and it is there. I would have thought they would have sent everybody an email saying they brought it out, but nothing at all. But they seem to get some good reviews in the marketplace. I'm looking forward to using that too. Aside from that, what have I been shooting this week? Well, I've had another 7-dayer at work. We've had a stock take this week, loads and loads of work, taking loads and loads of money, which is good. But what I have been doing is working through the roll of 110 film that I've got in my Pentax Auto 110, you know, that mini SLR. Looking forward to finishing that off and then sending that off and getting developed. And then we can actually see, well, there's two things I need to see, whether the expired click film I've put in it is any good and whether the exposure system on the Auto 110 is any good too. But you never know with film, you know, that's the beauty of it. You kind of have this uncertainty and this delay. You know, it can take you a couple of months sometimes to go through a roll of film, and you've probably completely forgotten about the photographs you took with it. So you send it off or take it into a lab, get it developed, and hey presto, all of a sudden there might be a little bit of magic, there too. Right, well, that's it really from me for this week. Thanks to everybody for listening to the podcast and downloading it. It really makes my day also to get the emails off people. One more thing that I was going to mention as well. You know, last week I was talking about the chap who sent in the question about going wide. One of the things I suggested was you can buy these, like, lens adapters, which are extra lenses that screw onto the end of your camera lens. I used to have one for the Fuji 5700, and though the lens, the picture quality wasn't great, and it was really prone to flaring, I was looking on eBay, and they're really cheap, and I've managed to snag a pair, one that's a wide-angle attachment for my, and I always get this wrong, it's either the 17-55 or the 18-55 Canon IS lens that I've got for my 350D. I've got one that's a wide attachment and a zoom attachment. I thought, I think it's about £12. I thought, for £12, I might as well get them, check them out, see if they're any good, and then report back to everybody as to whether it's actually worth doing it. When you're in that situation where you need a super wide or a super telephoto as well, because I think the telephoto is a 2x, so it will change my 250mm into a 500mm lens, if you can believe that. So yeah, so I'll pay for them probably tonight, and I should get them and maybe report back over the next couple of weeks. Okay, so that's it from me for this week from SEL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Thanks everybody for sending me the email, sending me the questions, commenting on robnonphoto.com, putting your photographs in the pool. Some fantastic work goes in there. Really very, very impressive. Thank you very much. I feel honoured to be part of the group that we've got over there and the photographs are going in. And remember, if you haven't joined already, it is totally free to join Flickr. Join the robnonphoto.com Flickr group and post some images and maybe get involved in the discussions too. Right, that's it from me, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.